gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
Sports fans, NFL fans, welcome to an early edition of This Week in the NFL. We're heading into Week 11, and boy was Week 10 fun. Best week of the season with the best play of the season, with a lot of your hosts' teams winning. Big stuff, big stuff. So, as you know, I'm your host with the most, the Cowboy, joined on video, which you guys can't see, but we can see. We're trying something new here by our normal four-man booth. The guys that are bringing it every week, we've seen a real uptick in volume of the number of people listening since we went to the four-man booth. So we're going to keep it this way until we lose somebody, whatever that might be. So we'll go age before beauty here. First co-host, Cowboy Senior.
How you doing? It was a great week. There's a few of us here who are really happy we missed on a prediction. It's a beautiful thing. Football's alive again here in New England.
There you go. My dad stealing my thunder. I was going to go through everybody and say, so, Senior, who'd you pick in that Ravens-Patriots game? Yeah. That was the Ravens.
Yep.
Who'd the Cowboy pick?
Yep, you stuck loyal to the Pats. Yes.
All right.
I'm kind of ashamed of myself, but, hey, what are you going to do? I'm glad they won no matter what, but, yeah, I should know better. Never quit on the Pats. They've taught us that for 20 years.
We had a nice monsoon right on the final drive.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, very good. Next up, another fan of another big winner this week. My co-host since the inception of the show, my main man, John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Yeah. Wonderful. This is a rare week. We couldn't wait to get back at it. We have four happy campers here this week. That's why we're getting it in early. We couldn't wait. On a usual week, I'm like, yeah, you can wait till Friday, Saturday, or, wait till the very last minute. But this week, we had to get it in. Plus, we also got a hot Thursday game to preview. So that's why we're here early.
Absolutely. And John's always been, one of the things that John, the first time I met him, said to me is, we always got to get it in early. You always got to get it in early. So that's good. And John, Giants, G-Men, big win.
Finally got the Philly monkey off our backs. They felt good. 3-7, not getting overconfident. Coming into the season, they were expected to, I think the over-under on wins was about five or six, and that's pretty much what they're going to hit. But with the decrepit state of the division, that we make it a bonus playoff game. So it's nice to still be in it where the season's not over after 10 games. Of course, I have to put up with all the ridicule about how the NFC East is the worst division of all time, but I'll deal with that. At least it's just good to be respectable and get some wins on the board.
Yeah, I don't know where you're hearing that from.
I'm hearing it from every NFL fan that I know I'm hearing it from, but that's okay. It's all good.
Last but not least, big fan of the hottest thing in sports right now, the best play of the last 10 years probably in the NFL, my main man, Ryder. What's up, Ryder?
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
So, on a level of 1 to 10, how excited are you still about that DeAndre Hopkins catch? Let's say on Sunday, I was with you. I know it was about 17. Where would you put yourself right now?
9.5.
9.5. That's pretty good. 3 days later, 9.5. There's not a lot of things that I'm feeling like a 9.5 about 3 days later. So, Ryder, your Arizona sports thing and you coming on the show, it's all like the stars are just aligning for you. I mean, Kyler Murray looks like he's going to win the MVP. And then the next day, the Suns traded for Chris Paul and are like a top four team in the West now. How does it feel to single-handedly bring this luck to the state of Arizona?
Good.
Good, good. Well, they appreciate it, Ryder, and you're a good fan. So, very good stuff. So, we're joining you here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. And before we get into Big Red versus Seattle and all the other games, I'm going to kick it over to John to talk through some of the other great content that we have on the network.
Okay, it's only been a few days since the last ep, so we just have three episodes to update you guys on. Last week, the No Holds Barred podcast, number 45 dropped, where Aaron, JT, and Chad Campbell, that's quite a trio. They did a special live watch of Ric Flair versus Triple H from Survivor Series 2005. Being this is November, this is Survivor Series month, so going to get a lot of Survivor Series-related contact there. And the Second Print Comics, episode number 15, dropped. Mark Claire does a great job with that. The Image Comics Revolution. And TNA Never Die is just dropped today. Episode number 14 with Aaron, JT, and Jenny. You know that trio. There's going to be a lot of laughs and a lot of adult humor. So, and this week in North-South, more episodes will be coming up. So they're always cranking them out. Stay tuned.
Great. Thanks, John. I encourage everyone to listen to those shows. It's a great network, and we're proud to be a part of it. And I think I could safely say, John, that we're the best sports podcast on the North-South Connection Podcast Network.
We're still number one, or one out of one.
We're one of one. That describes us, I think.
Yeah. I got a question.
It's kind of like being in first place in the NFC least.
Negative. Always Mr. Negative. Go ahead, John. I think John had a question for Ryder.
How many times did you watch the replay of the famous the Hail Murray to DeAndre Hopkins? How many times did you watch the replay?
Seven or eight.
Seven or eight. That's kind of low. Okay.
So, Ryder and I, we watch football together Sundays. We usually watch over at my place. I got a whole setup with three TVs and yada, yada. But it was his little brother's birthday party or little brother's birthday on Sunday. So we had to be at his house for the party. So we were just in his room, 132-inch TV, watching the Cardinals game. And his house was built a long time ago. And I would say our reaction to that Hail Mary almost put the whole house down. Right, Ryder?
Yeah.
Your uncle went nuts, didn't he?
Yes.
Really ballistic. Really, really nuts. It was like one of those things, too, because we were watching it on the stream. And so I accidentally looked at, you know how the stream's a little bit behind sometimes? We were watching it. So I accidentally looked at my phone and saw the Diggs touchdown right before it happened. And it was just like so deflating. And Ryder could tell it was going to happen by my reaction. It was just no good. And then we're watching and just that play. And Ryder had given up hope. Ryder was blaming me for the loss, for being overconfident. And I said, you got DeAndre Hopkins. You just got to throw it up. Yeah. And oh, my word. Reminded me, I don't know, one of my first memories as a kid, and I was a lot younger than Ryder at the time, but I actually remember the Doug Flutie Hail Mary to beat Miami. I remember, I mean, I was 4 years old, I think, but I it's like literally one of my first memories as a human being was watching that. And seeing you just losing his friggin' mind, you know. And Ryder, I hope that this is a similar memory for you.
I remember another one, Rod. You were a little bit older. It was a Patriot. They called it Hail Irving.
I remember that one. That was against
it was a West Coast game. I think it was either San Diego.
Rams.
Or
I think it was the Rams.
The Rams, yeah. That went there, yeah. And the Hail Irving at the end of the game to win it. But the miracle in Miami kind of was one of the greatest things in history.
One of the other real, you know, on the other side of that, one of my other first memories was the Patriots losing 46-10 in the Super Bowl.
Yep, that was tough to dub his.
But anyway, Anyway, I digress. Great moment. It really feels like this could be a team of destiny. I mean, the thing is wide open this year. You know, there's really no one dominant in the NFC. That team has a legitimate chance to make the Super Bowl. I think Kyler or Mahomes would be the MVP right now, right? I mean, I think Wilson's fallen off a little bit out the last couple of weeks. Kyler's on the way up. He's like a version of Lamar Jackson who can, like, throw real good. I mean, he is Ryder, it's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice feeling to say, hey, this 22-year-old kid, I'm going to be able to watch him for the next 10 years. He's already, like, if at worst, like, the third-best quarterback in the NFL. How does that make you feel, Ryder?
Very good.
Very good. It should make you feel very good. So let's get to this week's game. We have a rematch of the previous most exciting game of the season, which was Cardinals-Seahawks. And Seahawks trying to get their revenge. The Cardinals won the last game 38-35, if you remember correctly, 37-34, whatever it was. If you remember correctly, they had the Seahawks blew a 10-point lead in the last 3 minutes or so of the game. There was the multiple turnovers / stops in overtime and missed field goal. Ultimately, the Cardinals were able to take it. So, Ryder, how do you see this one going?
Very close game.
Very close game. Which way are you leaning?
Cardinals.
Cardinals. All right. If you had to predict a score, where is it?
The Cardinals win by like one touchdown.
Give me a point. Number of points.
I don't know. 42-35.
Another shootout at AK Corral, baby. I love it. I think so this one's in Seattle, right? If I'm not mistaken, I don't know that it really matters. With COVID, the 12th man, not as big of a deal. Seattle coming in reeling, right? They finally ran it. Their defense finally played at least a reasonable game, but the Rams defense was better. Jalen Ramsey just went shut down city on DK Metcalf, just erased him. Most impressive cornerback performance of the season. Ryder, I think the Cardinals still have to play them twice, right? The Rams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think Ramsey's going to shut down Hopkins like he did Metcalf?
No.
I don't think so either. Because Hopkins is a guy who doesn't need separation. It doesn't matter how you guard him because he can just chuck it up. Best kind of guy to have. But the Seahawks are coming in not playing great and really looking like they might have been a fraud at the beginning of the year. The Cardinals coming in hot. That script can flip. See what I did there? Really quickly with a big Seahawks win here. But I tend to agree with Ryder, except I think it might be a little less close than that. I think the Cardinals kind of put their stamp on this thing as being the dominant team in that little rivalry right now. And I agree with the 42, but I'm going to say 42-31, and where it's not even really that close. Kind of similar to how the Bills beat the Seahawks. John, you're always the voice of reason.
I picked against Seattle 4 weeks in a row, and I came up okay, three out of the four. Which, foolishly to 49ers, I shouldn't have. But, Seattle's real. And a senior brought up a good point last week. They've abandoned the running game. They used to be a run-first team to give Russell a break. But now it's just pass, pass, pass. And it's causing Russell to make some horrible turnovers. That one interception where they showed he had 10 yards he had the whole field right ahead of him. He could have walked into the end zone, and instead he threw a lollipop to the left side, and it was picked up.
Right after they had gotten a big turnover. Their defense finally makes its first play all season, and boom, he gives it right back.
Goff. I mean, out of those three teams, they all do have their serious flaws. Even though all three of them could go to the Super Bowl the way the NFC is set, but they do have their flaws with Goff and with Seattle's defense. And Arizona has some, flaws too. You guys are all celebrating, but we could get into that too.
But defensively, they're not a great defensive.
Not only that,
and they're not that well coached.
Yeah, because Gonzalez, they had to settle for three Gonzalez field goals in the first half, and that would have been, if it wasn't for that miracle play, that would have been what I would have been harping on as far as some poor play calling. But he did learn from his mistakes in the second half. Just let Kyler, give Kyler more of a chance to be creative and run with the ball, and that's what got into the end zone. Kyler got those two touchdowns in the second half before the Hail Mary. But otherwise, yeah, Kingsbury's play call still leaves a lot to be desired, and they're still a little soft on the defense for my liking. Buda Baker can't be all over the field, so I'm gonna go with that Seattle finally gets their game back. That their defense gets it together a little. They got Dunlop. They added Snacks Harrison to their defensive line. Maybe Adams and their secondary get it together. And it's not going to be as high scoring as you guys say it is. I'll say like 28-26, a tight one. But they'll both be under 30, and Seattle will finally pull one out.
If that defense holds the Cardinals to under 30, I'll kiss your shoe. Tomato. That defense sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, they suck. I mean, you never know. We'll see. But, I mean, the only way I could see it is if they decide, because you can run on the Cardinals, right? Is if they got back to their roots a little bit and ran the ball and held the ball. But that's just not how they're playing. We'll see what happens. I hope you're wrong. Senior, where are you going here? Are you going to find a way to disparage the Bears as part of this prediction?
One thing I just wanted to mention, I was watching some of the talking heads today, and I thought John's prediction was going to come through that one of them was going to steal his thunder with his nickname for the Seattle D. It was Andrea Kramer, and she said, I got a name for the Seattle defense. I call them the Legion of, but instead of going with Johnny's room, she said Legion of Zoom, because... They're like a lot of people who don't have meetings. They're on a Zoom and they want a social distance from the team's receivers, which was pretty creative, I thought too. So, Legion of Room, Legion of Zoom, they are pretty terrible. Now, you on the surface looking at statistics, you might think you might want to say that the defense played a little better last week. It was the least amount of points they've allowed in a game all season, and the least amount of yards they've allowed in a game all season, but it still wasn't enough to get the job done because their offense didn't put up the huge points because the Rams have a very legitimate defense and did a good job. And I think Russell's starting to bear so much of the load that he's starting to make some mistakes. But beyond that, I'm still not going to say that, in my opinion, that defense didn't play that much better. It's just the Rams have a very good defense. The Rams' offense isn't anything special, let's face it. They're not a great offensive team. They're decent on offense, inconsistent as hell, but a good defensive team. So I still think that defense is absolutely awful, and I can't pick them to beat a good team with that defense. I just can't. I can't bring myself to pick them. I think Kyler's going to have a field day against them. And I think that the Arizona, not a great defense, but good enough to hold them to less points than that Seattle defense is going to give the Arizona offense. So I see a high scoring game as well. Another thing that I heard from the talking heads, I think some of them are listening to our show, Johnny, was they see it that this could be the week that Seattle tries to go back to running the ball more. I heard that from a few of them today. So we'll see. We'll see to try to take the pressure off Russell and to try to keep the defense off the field a little bit. Thing is, I don't think Carson's playing. No. I mean, they don't have a great.
Yeah, they said Hyde has a good chance of coming back.
Okay, and he's decent. Yeah. And when you get that much of a threat of the pass, you should be able to run the ball a little bit because the defense has to play the pass first. So maybe they're going to try and not be so pass happy. We'll see. But I'm going to say 38-27 Cardinals, and let Russ cooks up two more picks.
All right. So
I'm on Lonely Island again.
Well, you know, somebody had to put the jinx on, Johnny, and you took it for the team. And
we only got
for that.
We got two words to say then, guys, right? Big red. Big red, baby. Let's go. Am I right, Ryder?
Yes.
All right. Very good. You have a measured approach, Ryder. I like how you think about what you're going to say before you say it. That's a good thing to do. None of us do that. It gets us into trouble.
Yeah, I see him take that deep breath there. And
yeah.
Now that we got him on video, we thought he was, you know, just goofing off a little with that hesitation. But no, the guy's thinking.
Exactly.
Let's give him credit. There you go.
So we got a few other games we can talk about this week. First, why don't we talk about a little Sunday night football? Some elements in Foxborough. Maybe a little bit of an overrated Ravens team coming to town. I don't know. The Pats played a good game. Shut them right down. So I thought defensively, just a putrid. It's either a great offensive performance by the Patriots, but having watched the Patriots offense all season, I tend to lay the blame at the feet of the Ravens defense. The Ravens defense just let the Pats just run all over them the whole game. I mean, when you're playing the Patriots, they haven't shown much propensity like with the pass this season, right? So you've got to really sell out to stop the run. And I mean, you could drive a truck through those holes, and he looks like a good player, but I mean, it was just like a real typical game plan win for the Pats. Control the ball, hold them to three when you can, you know, mistakes, and then let the defense stand tall at the end of the game, and then, you know, have God come in with the monsoon right when you need it most. But two wins in a row, the Pats, and then the Bills lost. The Pats sitting at 4-5. I think they may benefit if they could get this one extra wild card team in, but I haven't given up hope, guys. Ryder, did you catch any highlights of Pat's Ravens?
No, not really.
No worries, but you were happy with the Patriots victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Good job. Very good. Those late games are tough for you on school nights. We understand that. Senior.
Hell yeah.
Picked the Patriots to get killed last week, and having that not happen, what were your thoughts?
Very happy to be 100% wrong, but I would give the game ball to the offensive line. They played unbelievable. And it seems like it's got to be their philosophy. It's going to be what we now have an identity on offense, which ironically is something I said about the G-Men last week. There's some parallels here. Power running game, the identity of the offense, and both teams with the quarterback that also contributes to the power running game. Danny Dimes with more speed and athleticism, but Cam being like a battering ram back there to help Harris out. But yeah, the Patriots offensive line just destroyed the Ravens. And you know, when we had our little chat room that's always open, the four-man booth chat room. And at one point, Johnny said, the Ravens look like they don't want to be there. And sometimes those tough elements will do that to the team. The Patriots being strong of character. You heard the stuff about during the week, the day that it rained like hell before. The Patriots were out there practicing in the rain, and the Ravens stayed inside that day.
Bet your ass they were, Senior.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, that New England weather stuff, the team that's more mentally tough, that's going to go out there and suck it up, is going to win. But here's another thing about the thing with the Ravens offense, that the theme we keep talking about, that I keep saying, that I don't think Lamar's running enough. And I listened to Mike Giardi, who's a Patriots guy, give his analysis, and this is what he said. He said, he was sitting up high in the booth, and he said what he called, when you had the 22-man view from up high, he said there were at least a half a dozen plays where Lamar had 20, 30 yards or more wide open in front of him to run, and he chose to throw the ball instead. And he said, I give him credit. He's trying to develop as a passer. But, man, if they want to win, they got to turn him loose. That's why he was the league MVP last year. It wasn't because he was the most prolific passer in the history of the league. He was just, you know, let him run like Kyler. You know, that's
he did. He did throw 37 touchdown passes last year, but a lot of it was predicated
but it's all set up by his
was
running.
On the run. Agreed.
You know, and okay, you want to extend his career and turn him into a pocket passer? Then it won't be a great extended career. You know, if he's going to be effective, he's got to run. And certainly, if he's got a lot of real estate in front of him, he has to take off. I mean, that's just crazy. So maybe they did us a little bit of a favor there, but that's off to the Pats. What a huge win. How can you not be just so happy about it? I mean, we feel alive again, you know? Too bad
that's
we
have
a bye week this week, but that's okay. We can rest on that one for a while.
The rest of the league and our listeners like nothing more than hearing about Patriot victories. That's my But so we have the Pats. The Pats are going to Houston this week. And I think this is the gut check game of the season, because the way the Patriots have played this season, they're going to lose this game. I happen to think otherwise. I think they maybe have turned a corner. They have some confidence, and I think they're going to get it done. I think it's going to be hairy, and they're going to have to win it at the end. It's going to be very close, but I think they're going to get it done, mostly on the defensive side of the ball, 20-21-20, something like that. What do you think, Ryder?
Yeah, I'd say it'd be a kind of close game.
Patriot win, or you think Deshaun Watson's going to beat him?
Patriots.
Yes, there we go.
Get away, Ryder.
Senior, are you going Texans?
No. The reverse jinx wasn't intentional last week, so I'm not throwing it out there unintentionally this week. Here's the way I see it. You know, you would see it as a game is what you would have to worry about is the Texans offense. Their defense hasn't been very good all year, but we know Watson and that offense is dangerous, except they just lost 10-7 last week. So,
yeah, I mean, they were like 40-mile-an-hour winds or something.
It still helps you feel a little better about it.
Yeah.
But this is that part of it is my concern, because this philosophy we have and our identity on offense, well, to win with a team that's going to play ball control, power running, to win in this, that's a hard way to win in today's NFL. But to do it, you got to have a really good defense. And the Patriots defense hasn't been great this year. They were really good last week. You know, the way the secondary's playing, if they could get Gilmore back, the way J.C. Jackson's played and the McCourties, it might be the best secondary in the league. So that gives me hope with the defense. And it's a young defense in the other parts, and I think they're getting better. And I also think that they're going to be able to power run right through John's favorite guy, J.J. Watt, in that defense. They're going to run right through him. It's going to be the battering ram offense. And 24-20, Pats.
All right. You going on the island again, John? We'll give you a quick pick here, and then we're going to talk about the NFC East.
We overanalyzed a game between a 4-5 team and a 2-7 team a little too much. I'll go with the Pats. The Texans, I think they got to be ranked in the 30s on a run defense. So the Pats will just keep it on the ground and put it to them.
Agreed.
Well said. All
right. Very good. So, Ryder, we're getting a little late in the night here. I think it's time to send Ryder off. Ryder, just about bedtime.
Miles Morales.
Miles Morales. Ryder, Big Red, another week, another huge game. We should try to figure out a way to watch the game on Thursday. We'll talk to your mother and see if we can get you a hall pass to stay up late, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for joining, Ryder. Say bye to the fans.
Bye.
Big Red.
Big Red, baby.
There you go. Thursday night.
All right. Very good. So next up, I know we'll continue the theme of talking about games with losing records, because this one had big divisional consequences, John. We had the Eagles trying to run away and hide by getting almost to 500 in the NFC East, and the Giants standing in their way. And the Giants continue to play well. And are they the best team in the NFL? No. Have they gone from putrid to serviceable? Yes. Does that make them the best team in the NFC East? Yes. Woo! What are your thoughts, John?
Well, I'm still waiting for Philly to put it together. They usually come through in the second half, or they usually come through when they're on the verge of elimination. Philly usually pulls out a couple games. I still have faith in Peterson and Wentz.
They are shitty. I mean, Ryder's gone now. We can say. I mean, I agree. Like, personnel wise, you look at the Eagles and then you look at their history, and I agree with you. You think they're going to put it together, but if you watch them on the field, they are terrible. I mean, they suck. They suck. Like that win against the Cowboys. The Cowboys would have literally lost to Boston College with that guy playing quarterback, and the Eagles barely beat them. I mean, they are just not a good team right now. And the Giants, to Senior's point, they found that identity. Dimes not turning it over as much. I think that's huge, right?
And two games in a row without a turnover. That's been the difference. Yeah.
That is the difference. And in that division, John, I mean, the Redskins, I'm sorry, the Washington football team probably not doing much. The Cowboys are awful. It's, you know, it doesn't take much to be the best team in that division. And I think if the Giants, they're 2-3-7, if they can go 4-2 the rest of the way and get to 7-9, that should like be a clear division winner, in my opinion.
That walks away with it.
Yep, because I have a feeling they're probably gonna split the last three and go to 6-10, and the Eagles will pull it out on that tie. They'll probably pull it out with a 6-9-1.
You gotta be happy as a fan. Yeah.
I said at the beginning
the way they're playing.
I said at the beginning that they were projected to win 5 or 6 games. That's probably what they're gonna be, but you know they've been in every game and they're improving. That's all you could ask. It's a first year coach. With the craziness this year, there was no training, no preseason and all that. So they're making moves in the right direction, and with that, it looks like the GM will probably keep his job, because a couple of the free agents have been outstanding. Bradbury might make the Pro Bowl. He's a terrific cornerback. Blake Martinez, linebacker, so he made some good free agent moves. Gettleman and even trading for Leonard Williams last year was he got torched for that trade, giving up a third and a fifth, but it's turned out Leonard Williams has played real well on the defensive line, so that trade that which they were mocked for has turned out to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And I know you got, anyone's a Bill Simmons fan, he's got that thing called the Ewing theory, where it's like when the real superstar goes down and then the team ends up being really good. I think it was like Peyton Manning at Tennessee, and they won it the next year.
The Giants, they made about 100 mistakes and keeping Eli 2 years too long, and you know, it's one of them. But you know,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that Barkley going down, team is better because Barkley went down.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like that. It makes the other guys step up.
Yeah, well, I've already said, about Barkley, ten runs for negative yardage before that 50-yard run. I like the Wayne train, steady 4 yards a carry. Even Alfred Morris.
The old Alfred.
5 yards a carry, nice. We'll take it.
Giants are on a bye this week. If you look at the other three NFC East teams, it looks like three losses to me. We got Philly at Cleveland. I mean, that should be a Cleveland win. Anything's possible, but I don't see Philly going in there and beating them. Cleveland's decent. We got Dallas at Minnesota, which should be a blowout. And then Minnesota's playing well. Minnesota played well last night. And then we have probably the best chance for an NFC East win is Cincinnati at Washington, but I like Burrow there. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me if all three of those games were wins by the other teams by more than 10 points.
Yeah, we'll see if Philly bounces back. There's a lot of Peterson got a lot of flack this week. There's a lot of speculation that he might be done, and he'll be at the top of the teams like the Jets that need a coach. He won't be out of a job if he gets the axe there. So there's a lot of talk, a lot of disgruntlement in Philly land.
We'll just say it looked like Foles might be done after last night, and if we can get Peterson right behind him, that's fine by me. You know, I hope he never coaches again.
It's not. Yeah, he'll have a job, but it may not be with Philly. Yeah.
So, Senior, wanted to talk about last night's game. It was kind of teams going in two different directions. We had the Bears coming, much maligned, coming in on a 3-game losing streak against the Vikings, kind of going the other way. Lost some tough ones earlier in the year, have started to turn it around. Really, for the Bears at home, it's a game they needed to win to keep their play, in my opinion, to keep their playoff hopes alive. And the Vikings, for them to, you know, them to have any playoff hopes, they needed a win. And it was a good game. The Bears' defense played really well. Cousins actually played good on Monday Night Football. But really, the takeaway, and I mean, I've been a Bears defender all year, but the takeaway for me was, I mean, that might be the worst offense I've ever seen in my life. I mean, honestly, the Flacco Jets, maybe. I mean, at least they have a pulse. To not have a first down in the second half with a friggin' 2 minutes left in the game, just horrible. What do you think, Senior?
Yeah, that offense is a joke. I've never seen anything so awful. You know, to say people were high on this team, well, some. Just remember when I proclaimed them the worst 5-1 team in the history of the NFL? My God, has that come to fruition or what? They are just awful. Just absolutely awful.
You did nail that one, Senior.
It's almost hard to watch. It's so bad. It's so, so bad. And that wasn't against the dominating defense or anything. Yeah, they were in the game. They were in the game because they have a good defense that kind of keeps them in, and they got a kickoff return for a touchdown. At the end of the first half, when they had 6 points, two field goals, I said, good offensive half for them. And I was right. It was a better offensive half than they were going to have in the second half. The second half, if it could have gotten worse than the first half, it did. It was way worse. I mean, their offense, it's kind of like, well, the difference is Seattle has a great offense. I was going to say it's kind of hard, like trying to win games with Seattle's defense, but it's worse because they can win because of their offense. How do you win with that offense? It's hard to win football games when you've got to count on your defense and your special teams to score the points for you. I mean, they're horrible.
It does make it difficult.
They're absolutely awful, you know. And I wanted to throw a few things in. You didn't let me chime in on the least. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're kind of like Johnny.
We moved on too quickly.
Yeah, well, it's kind of giant comments for Johnny. And, you know, when you're 1-7, you think there's no way to get back into a divisional race, right? But the G-men showed us the blueprint. You go 2 weeks in a row that you're the only team in the division that wins, right? And the amazing thing with the least is if you look at it statistically, both of those weeks, the division went 1-2 with the Giants being the only team to win. And both of those weeks, that 1-2 percentage brought up the total winning percentage of the division for the year. 333 brings them up. It could be zero this week. And if you're right with your predictions this week, you're going to be go 3 weeks where the Giants are the only team that wins in that division. We're going to see how long we can keep this streak going.
We have to tweak that a little. So the Giants are on the bye. So it would be 3 weeks where the Giants are the only team that doesn't lose.
Well, they're the only team that won a football game in a 3-week span.
There you go. Either way.
Okay. However we want to look at it. Yeah. But the other thing is what the Giants have done by doing this these last 2 weeks is, let's face it, you know, we're proclaiming the Giants the best team in the division. Well, who knows? But that division's wide open, right? Right now, any one of the four teams that's there to grab. And I just wanted to touch on this for a second. It's a and it's a rare positive for me about the Leafs. The feel-good story of the week, I mean, even though they lost the game, was Alex Smith passing for 390 yards. And it would be almost kind of cool if they were to come back and win the division and him play really, really well. It would kind of be a cool thing. Not for you, Johnny, but it would just be a nice feel-good story for a terrible division. So it's wide open. It's anybody's. Maybe the Red Rifle's about to get hot because they said today he's good to go. So who knows what's going to happen in the least.
I thought the WFT were going to pull that one out in overtime, but Chase Young, stupid rookie mistake.
Chase Young.
He played really well. He was impressive as hell in that game.
They've got some young talent, the WFT.
Yeah, their defense isn't bad. Generally.
But, I mean, they shouldn't be contending for a division title.
Neither should the other three teams. I mean, come on. You got three wins so far. I mean, you're not supposed to be in the division title race, right? I mean, it's not supposed to work that way. So it's wide open. It's up. It's there for the taking. Whoever wants to take it. Certainly the Cowboys have a lot of talent, right? It's there for the taking. It's going to be an interesting run watching the rest of the division. But hats off to the G-Men. 2 weeks in a row, you're the only team that won, and you played really well. So great job, G-Men.
I don't think the Cowboys are going to even get to four wins. I mean, they're awful.
But they do have talent. I mean,
yeah, except where it really matters. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. The Eagles on paper should win the division, but they have to show me something because they have been a freaking train wreck. So let's look at the scheduling. We get some other quality matchups this week. We have on Monday night, Rams at Tampa. You have the schizophrenic Tampa Bay Bucks, who are either going to score 0 or 45 every week, apparently.
Hello.
They went into Carolina. They took care of business. They looked great. It was, you know, we saw a lot of that in New England. Brady didn't generally have a lot of two bad games in a row until the end of last season when he had 7 or 8 in a row. But so I guess, I don't know if they're coming in hot or lukewarm, but they're kind of a team that you don't really know what to expect from. That's what I'm going to call them at this point. And the Rams, on the other hand, nice win against Seattle that we've talked about. And they are a team that I know what to expect from. They're going to play tough defense. They're going to probably not turn the ball over too much. Goff will throw the occasional pick. They have some explosive players on offense, but they're looking to keep the game around 28-24. So it's an interesting game. You know, you'd think if the Bucks who showed up last week show up, they should win the game at home. If the Bucks who showed up against the Saints show up, they'll lose the game by 25 points. So I'm gonna go with the consistency. The Rams are fairly consistent, and I think that the Jekyll and Hyde Bucks we're going to come up snake eyes again this week, and we're going to have the bad version with Donald. You know, Brady doesn't react well to pressure these days, and Donald will be in his face the whole game. So 28-24, Rams.
I'm going to take your theme and say they're both kind of Jekyll and Hyde teams. The Rams are a funny team that can play really well some weeks and can really be bad sometimes too. They certainly have some Jekyll and Hyde in them. But I'm going to go along with you and say the recipe to beating the Bucks has been to get pressure on Tom and Bruce doesn't make any adjustments. And so I see the Rams defense being able to get some pressure on Tom and the Rams offense being doing enough to score. So I'm going to say the Rams in a low-scoring game. I'm going to say 20-14 Rams.
You riding a Brady train there, John?
Wow. You know me. I usually go with the better defense. I really like the Rams defense. And their coordinator, Brandon Staley, he's going to be a hot candidate for some head coaching jobs that eventually open up. But I'm gonna go with the Bucks to put two good games in a row together. And I'm going to go with Brady against you guys. They're at home, and as consistent as the Rams' defense has been, they have games where their offense when they
can be bad.
When they have to rely on Goff, who you know, the minute the as soon as it's 12:01, when the guaranteed money runs out on Goff, you know they're gonna move on from him, whenever that will be in a year or two. So. But I'm going to go with the Bucks.
You think they move on from him?
Well, as soon as the guaranteed money runs out. I mean, he's got that huge...
I know. If you don't think... I mean, it's so tough to find. I mean...
Nah, it's not like, anymore. Because nowadays, you see like 5 or 6 studs come out of college. Right? But that won't be a couple of years down the road. So.
All right, Johnny. So another team I want to talk about. 5-game winning streak, and that's one of those studs from college, right? Tua and the Miami Dolphins. Another impressive win this week against the Chargers. Miami just, I mean, they look like a real team. Flores is a phenomenal coach. I mean, I'm not saying anything earth-shattering there. With the Bills losing, I believe last week I said I think Miami's going to win the division. They're a half game back. And, I mean, they're playing really, really well. They're at Denver this
dangerous,
week.
Dangerous trap game. Denver could be tough.
They could. I think they're too well coached for a trap game. Because, I mean, if he grew up under Belichick, who, that's a big thing, is we take everybody seriously.
Yep.
You know, I mean, every game's its own kind of war. And... I don't see them having a trap game. I do think Denver at home could be a tough game, but I really like the way their defense is playing, John.
Yeah, me too. I'll stick with Miami because two is still fresh and it's only what is a third or fourth start. So, but I will think it keeps close. Denver's pretty well coached, solid defense. Locke has his ups and downs. He's still young, but. Yeah, I'll stick with Miami in that one.
You like Miami as well there, Senior?
Yep, I'll make it unanimous. You know I, even though they're the Patriots' rivals, you know I really like Tua. I like that defense.
That'd be a Denver upset.
Flores has that defense playing well. And all the things I sing the praises of Tua for, the little bit of escapability when he needs it. Making the big play when he needs it, and my favorite thing to talk about is accuracy, which is unbelievable. The thing that I haven't said is I think he's got that it factor too. The guy's a winner. He's just a winner. You can't remember him losing too many games, can you? I mean, yeah, you got to go with him against Denver, no doubt.
He's got the it factor. Senior doesn't bestow that title lightly, guys. No. He can chalk that kid up for at least 2 Super Bowls.
The kid's pretty special.
The last guy I heard Senior say that about was Eli Manning.
He said the shit factor or the it factor?
All right, another good game this week, guys. Rematch, Kansas City at Vegas. Vegas beat them the last time they played. And then it just came out. We were talking about it before the show, that the Raiders did a bus victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium after the win. Like very much. I mean, Andy Reid seems like he's kind of a tough guy to piss off. So for him to come out in the media, I think he's using it as bulletin board material for his guys. And you don't want to poke that bear if you're the Raiders, in my opinion. I feel like they can't make the line on this game high enough. I think Reed's going to go out of his way to embarrass Gruden because it's just fun, and he's not going to like what Gruden did there. So I got to like the Chiefs and just a laugher in Vegas to really kind of exert their dominance in that division, and for Reed specifically to exert his dominance over the feeble Gruden. John, what do you think of this one?
Well, little heavy on the feeble Gruden. The Raiders 6-3. That they put up some impressive wins, but I agree with you. I look for the Chiefs, not just for that nonsense, just for revenge for the loss, for putting their only loss on them. So yeah, I look for a 40 or a 50 burger. Mahomes a nice 5-touchdown game. I agree, it's not going to be close, but I give the Raiders a little more credit than you do.
Okay, what do you think, senior?
Unanimous. Yeah, the Chiefs are the Chiefs are the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing. I don't think anybody can much argue with that. They're the best team in football. Then you go and piss them off and do. But isn't that kind of like the Raiders to do something like that? You know, and Chucky, it's right out of their playbook. But yeah, the Chiefs are going to roll all over them. They're losing twice to the Raiders.
I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here for folks who listen to the show, but I think Pittsburgh has a pretty legitimate claim to being the best team in football. I have my questions about whether Roethlisberger can stay upright, but if he does, I mean, that's a hell of an AFC title game. If it comes down to that, I mean, they looked very, very impressive again this week. And then they have a non-game this week against the pitiful Jacksonville Jaguars. But I mean, that was a nice win. I thought they were going to lose that game and they came out. It was never close. So what say you, senior, about the Steelers and their claim to being the best team in the league?
No, I like the Steelers a lot. I mean, clearly those are the two best teams in the NFL right now. I don't think there's any argument against that. And you could put whichever one you want on top. I think the Chiefs are a little better. But yeah, the Steelers are really good. And you mentioning them playing the Jags this week just made me want to mention something about the Jags-Green Bay game last week. To me, it was one of the highlights of the season, the Miles Jack Hollywood job where he feigned like he got hurt on that play. Some of them are saying he should have got an Oscar for it. I'm like, are you kidding me? It was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they had the camera was too much on him.
It looked so stupid. It was worse than when those soccer players dive. You know, he went into even more dramatics, and
you got to give him credit for trying in a lost season, though. Won that game.
Yeah, the Jags.
Not a great look for the Pack in that one, but classic trap game. Am I right, John?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting after the where the teams. Well, you know, teams are gonna go hard for that number one spot because. But with only one team getting the bye, it's gonna be interesting to see like those second and third teams how hard they play those last couple games, because it's really not home field advantage is really not gonna be a factor this year with the fan situation and stuff. So it's gonna be intriguing to see if teams really go hard for it. Other than that number one spot, the rest is just gonna be whatever.
Yeah, especially with the lack of home field advantage because of
like that Steelers.
Like who cares? It's kind of almost like a who cares, right?
Yeah, because that Steelers Chiefs game, that would really swing it. You know, it's going to be 3 points either this way or that way. Who's got the home? But now it's not going to be. It's just going to be the better team. So.
Very good. So guys, I'm just going to
turn it
over to each of you. Yeah, let's talk Packers Colts. Go ahead, John. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, that's about the last good game I see on the schedule. We covered all the good games, but yeah, the Colts were very impressive last week. Thursday win, which we didn't really touch on last week over Tennessee. A nice road win.
Very nice win.
Yeah, it shows when Rivers doesn't turn the ball over. They could be tough. They got a solid defense. They're well coached and everything. So they're gonna be home for the Pack and the Pack. Like you said, they barely got by Jacksonville. They kind of they're like the other teams you mentioned, kind of up and down. So I'm gonna go with the Colts at home in this one.
Oh, you like the Colts? I think Rivers turns it over a couple times.
You say that every game.
He's on my list. He's on my list of everybody's got their list of guys that they think just aren't very good. He's on that list for me. Sorry, Phil. Great dad. Quarterback.
Nine kids. Yeah, that's a heck of a dad.
Yeah.
He's had a great career. I mean, you got to give him that. He's on the back nine right now.
Yeah, he's great career for a guy who never made a Super Bowl and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
they were 14-2, and then they remember they lost that home playoff game to the Patriots.
Yep,
that was the year the Pats had Rashe Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney at receiver. Rivers had LaDainian Tomlinson. Who else? They were loaded.
Antonio Gates.
Yeah. Oh, Antonio Gates, best receiving tight end in NFL history.
And Bill
Jabbar Gaffney.
I would be the number two
receiver in our annual flag football game out in East Greenwich.
You'll see the guy putting on a gold jacket someday, Raj. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Come on.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt.
Based on longevity?
Look at his career numbers. No doubt. No doubt about it. He's in the top five in almost every category. It's kind of like Frank Gore is going to be in the Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah.
He did it really good for a long time. Phillip Rivers was a really good quarterback for a long time.
Frank Gore deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, then Phillip Rivers certainly does.
Quarterback, you got to win.
Yeah.
He's a loser.
Senior,
Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
See, Senior, this is where the wise old men have to teach the youngsters. You know, back in our days, if a guy was just a great player. Now these young kids, it's like, oh, if they don't win a ring, they suck, they're the worst, whatever.
Some of that, you know, the thing's going to fall your way sometimes.
Yeah.
You get one.
Not everybody can win a ring. Trent
Dilfer won a ring, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's not the measure of everything. But anyway, you want me to pick the game now? This is a tough game, really. Because I think the key to the game is if the Colts can get a running game going and control the ball some and keep that defense fresh, they'll win. And the Colts running game has been a bit disappointing this season. Jonathan Taylor and stuff. I mean, Hines had a great game last week, but he's more like a third down type back. But if it's kind of like the cure for a quarterback slump. If there's a cure for a running game that's been struggling a little bit, it's a game against the Green Bay defense, kind of like going against the Legion of Room when the quarterback's in a slump. So, yeah, I'm going to say they run the ball enough. They play solid defense. They get enough done. And 21-17, Colts.
All right. Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
Maybe.
Ninth all time in passing yards now. Yeah. And he should pass Dan Marino for sixth in the next 3 years or so.
And then he'll get, if he plays that long and keeps doing what he's doing now, absolutely.
Oh, come on. You're cheapening it. It's a different era. It's a different era. You know that.
Well, we'll talk a few years after the guy retires. I guarantee you, you're going to see Phillip Rivers in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind.
We may have to have an off-season Hall of Fame special edition of the podcast. Who gets in and who doesn't?
You know, you got your Joe Montanas and Tom Brady's and guys like that. And, you know, like any other sports Hall of Fame. And then you got other guys that weren't at that level, but they're Hall of Fame level. Not everybody is at the top of the Hall of Fame, you know, the elite Hall of Famers, you know.
I agree. I'm looking at the list here. So the Eli will get in, I would assume, Eli's eighth all time in NFL passing yards. I think Eli was a good quarterback.
Had a really good career. Yeah.
All right, but I mean, Eli is eighth all time in NFL passing yards. Dan Fouts is 18th. It's a different. He was considered the guy who chucked it more than anybody, right? I mean, it's just it's a different game. John Elway, 10th, right? So Carson Palmer's 14th. Is he in?
No.
We'll see.
No.
What's Rivers? Look at Rivers in all the categories.
He's fifth.
Yeah, and that's one category. Look at all the others, touchdowns and everything. He's up there in all of them.
I'm surprised Fouts dropped that down
yeah.
there.
He got passed by all these guys. Matt Stafford just passed him.
Oof.
So it goes so Roethlisberger 7, and then the Aaron Rodgers 11, then Warren Moon, Fran Tarkenton, Carson Palmer, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe, Matthew Stafford, and then Dan Fouts. And then right behind Dan Fouts, Kerry Collins, right behind Kerry Collins, Joe Montana Flacco.
Collins.
And then Joe Montana clocks in at 21st.
Like you said, it's going to be interesting. This generation, it is going to be based on wins a lot more because the stats are inflated. Because now the game's geared towards the passing, especially now if you blow on a receiver, you get all these pass interference. So it is going to be interesting.
But there's something to be said for being very good for a long, long time.
Yeah, staying healthy.
That's Philip Rivers.
Staying healthy and longevity. Yeah, that's what helps Eli. Sure, he sucked. You know, a lot of interceptions there too. But with the winning that he played all those games straight. That's what helped him rack up all those stats.
Yeah, and he did it on the big stage too. That contributes to him obviously a lot. You know.
How many games have you watched in your life where you said Philip Rivers was the best player on the field? I'm going to say zero for me.
You forget that guy was really good, right?
And I'm not saying he was bad. I mean, he's bad now. But I felt like he always left me a little bit lacking. A little bit lacking. He never really, he didn't play in a lot of big games, and he certainly didn't win a lot of big games. Anyway, I don't want to, we don't have to debate Philip
this
Rivers.
Isn't going to be decided for a long, long time. So.
True. Ryder will be 22 years old, and we'll be arguing about it on the show. We'll have to wheel you in, senior.
I'm sure when he gets voted in, I'll remember, though.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'll get the text. All right, boys. So I think that's a wrap.
Good job.
I think even though the fans can't see it, I think for our entertainment, I really enjoyed being on video. I don't know about you guys.
This was cool.
It's a little bit surprised. Let me know next week so I can spruce up the place a little bit.
You're looking good there, Johnny.
Thanks.
When we called him, we think he was potentially rubbing one out because the phone was just pointed straight up at the ceiling. He's like, hey, guys, hey. I'm like, what's going on with the ceiling? That took him a minute to get into the picture. So we might have caught him in the act, if you know what I mean. So that's how he preps for the show. All right, my friends.
Roger, so, bringing the rated R humor. That's my job. You took over my spot.
Waited until Ryder was off the air.
Oh, of course. John, that's the difference. That kid's going to learn sometimes.
These nuts.
There you go.
All right, my friends. So to all our fans out there, hope you enjoyed the show. Early edition this week. Make sure you tune in to Big Red versus Seattle. That is a big game, and a huge game. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Should be a lot of offense. Two great quarterbacks. And then we'll be back. We'll try to get it in. I think next week I should be able to also do Tuesday.
Got to beat the Thanksgiving game, even though the Thanksgiving games are shitty.
And for those listeners who don't know, I am a student employee and podcast host. So I have a very full plate, and Tuesdays I'm usually doing the work thing and the school thing. And I did that today, but because of the Cardinals thing, we had to go. But next week I'm on my Thanksgiving break for school. So we'll be good on Tuesday.
He's the man. Full-time job, full-time student, full-time husband, full-time uncle. He's the man. Full-time dog dad, you know.
Yeah, used to be. Jesus. Killing me. You're killing me, John. Senior.
Okay.
My last shot is one of the highlights of this week's going to be, for once, the Bears aren't going to lose this week.
5-5.
Sorry, Tim. So you won't have to put up with it too much this week. But senior,
their offense will probably
be back. He'll be back ready to pounce for week 12. Which is Bears
and Green Bay Sunday night, I think.
Bears at Packers on Sunday Night Football.
Here's a good one. The Bears this week will get as many first downs as they got in the second half.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry, Tim.
After we go an hour, things get a little silly. So we're just gonna sign off. So everybody, by all means, please reach out to us. We've been getting reached out to more. We love it. We love doing the show for you guys. So please reach out to us. Let us know. Give us some feedback. What more? You know, the most of the feedback I've gotten is more Ryder and less of everybody else. So we can do that. Just gonna let us know. But anyway, enjoy the games this week. For Cowboy Senior and for Mr. D'Amato, I'm your host, The Cowboy, and we are out.
Big Red.